about step 10. Which Amanda's very excited about. I don't know much about step 10 because I was rendered perfect after 9. So page 84. After the ninth step promises that we read at meetings. And just if you're new or relatively new, it's just interesting to me that the thing we read is the promises, the thing we call the promises, don't come after step 1, they come after step 9. It's just interesting to me. If you don't really feel the promises in your life, it's because they come after step 9. Just to point that out. Anyway. This thought brings us to step 10, which suggests that we continue to take personal inventory, continue to set right any new mistakes as we go along. We vigorously commence this way of living as we clean up the past. We have entered into the world of the spirit. Our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. It's not an overnight matter. It should continue for a lifetime. Continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. When these crop up, we ask God to remove them. We discuss them with someone immediately. We can make amends quickly when we have harmed anyone. Then we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. Love and tolerance of others is our code. There's a lot in that paragraph. There's a lot in that paragraph. One of the biggest words in that paragraph, I think, is when. When these crop up. You know, I made that silly joke about how I was rendered pure after step 9. But there is this feeling that by now I should be better and that, you know, I mean, I understand I need a thing in place if I get resentful or dishonest or self-seeking or afraid. In the unlikely event that. I told my wife one time, I said, yeah, she's in the program. She's new. She's 4 months less sober than I am. She's new. Next month I'll be 22, and until December, she'll be my little newcomer when she turns 22. But I tell her all the time, I go, honey, I've learned one thing in AA, it's that selfishness and self-centeredness is the root of my troubles. Your selfishness and your self-centeredness. When these crop up. You know, I am, as we talked about in step 6, I'm a broken person by design. I'm not supposed to be perfect. I'm a human being having a human experience. And my humanness means that I am going to have selfish, dishonest, self-seeking behavior driven by fear. The good thing about Alcoholics Anonymous is that we have a process by which we can take action that will allow us to survive our own humanity. I've been going through some things this last year in my business life and in my personal life that if step 10 did not exist, I would not have been able to survive. I hope that through continued work in step 10, that I will survive these things. I believe I will. I believe that Alcoholics Anonymous absolutely works in all circumstances. But the thing that I have to be willing to do is the thing that it says in 4 different places in that short paragraph, that I have to be willing to continue this way of life, that I have to be willing to continue to look for God. I have to be willing to continue to look for my own mistakes. I have to be willing to continue to concede that the problems in my life are generated by my reaction or lack of reaction, the way that I feel, the way that I experience the world through the eyes of a selfish, self-centered, self-seeking individual. And that just like in step 4, and often I mention this in step 4 and I didn't today and we'll talk about it now, one of the things that you hear in Alcoholics Anonymous an awful lot is that when something bad happens, we should look for our part. You ever hear that? I'm going to look for my part. And there's a problem with that. There's a problem with me looking for my part. There's an insinuation when I talk about looking for my part. If this is the problem, here's the wrongdoing, here's the bad situation. If I'm going to look for my part, and so now, which one's the part? Isn't the insinuation where I look for my part that you did more, you were more wrong than me, but I had a little bit of a piece to play? The big book says that we put out of our minds the wrongs others have done and resolutely look for our own mistakes. It says here, admitting he may be somewhat at fault, he is sure that other people are more to blame. Isn't that what I'm doing when I'm looking for my part? I'm saying that, you know, these things went wrong, but you did more than me. And what I have to be willing to do, whether it's in step 10 or whether it's in step 4, is I have to be willing to say that no matter what other people did, I'm going to put that out of my mind. I'm going to imagine they did no wrong, and I'm resolutely going to look for my own mistakes. One of the relationships in my life that has been very difficult is the relationship with my father. I made amends to my dad, and we created a good relationship. And things went very well with he and I. He's a very magnanimous, loving guy. And he also retired, and he also moved to Vegas. And we became very, very close. But my dad is my dad, and I am me. And so we had some angst between us that would come up over the years, and every time something came up, I'd go to my sponsor, and my sponsor would make me make amends to him. And it started to wear a little thin. Like, how come I'm always the one that's got to make amends? Why isn't it at some point I can't sit back? And I said, I'm willing to say that I got a big piece of this, that I have a part in this. I'm willing to say that. But can we agree that my dad's kind of screwed up too? How about on this one, sponsor? How about on this one, I made amends the last 5 times. How about on this one, we just sit and see whether or not he's going to make amends? Let's give him the opportunity for spiritual growth. It doesn't seem fair that I'm stealing all of the opportunities to grow. He might want to develop too. My sponsor would say mean stuff to me, like, Sheldon, how long have you been in AA? And at the time, probably about 14, 15 years you've been in AA. Yep, 14, 15 years. You've been trying to become a good, kind, caring, honest man with integrity, a forgiving, loving human being, yet working on it pretty hard. How often? Oh, you know, most days, you know. I mean, I try and pray and meditate every day. We'll talk about the word try and pray and meditate in the next session, but I try and pray and meditate every day, go to meetings most days, talk to you most days, talk to the guys I sponsor most days, and I'm pretty active. I do quite a lot of stuff. I'm really doing the best I can. You're doing the best you can. 15 years. Everyday activity in Alcoholics Anonymous. Yes, and you're still a screw-up. Yes. How much time has your dad spent in spiritual development? None. It's not his thing. He's not an alcoholic, doesn't need to go to AA, never worked the 12 steps. But you expect him to be spiritually more developed than you after 15 years of... I mean, I know you're a slow learner, Sheldon. But after 15 years, you should be at least where most people are at 15 months. I mean, you'd think you'd have grown a little bit in that time. Well, then it happened. The big thing happened. My dad went back to England and met a girl while he was there, a girl he'd known 40 years before, and they fell instantly in love. My dad came back to Las Vegas and said, I'm leaving, kid, I'm going back to England, going to go make a life with this woman. My son was 4 years old at the time. And my son was in love with his grandpa. He called him Umpapa. Right? Who knows where he got that from? That's what he Umpapa. Called him Umpapa. I was in love with him. They'd play on the floor together, and it was just amazing to watch. Well, now my dad's leaving my 4-year-old son just like he left me when I was 2. Right? He's going to ruin my son's life. He's doing it again. See, this is what he does. He's doing it again. On his way out the door, him and I owned some property together. We sold the property. I paid him for the property. I didn't do a title search. Why would you do a title search? It's my dad. That's why you do a title search. Because it's your dad. And he just neglected to tell me of some liens that he had put on the property to the tune of about $40,000. So now you can mess with me and you can abandon me for the second or third time in my life. You can hurt my son. You can abandon him like just like you did me when I was two. You can break my heart, my wife's heart, like he did when he left. But screw with my money. That's a whole nother level. Right? That's a whole, to the tune of 40, that's a whole another level. So I hate him. I hate him. And I go to my sponsor and I'm screaming at my sponsor. And I don't scream at my sponsor, but I'm screaming, spits coming out of my mouth. I'm so angry. And I'm telling him, this is your fault. This is your fault. You made me make amends to him. You made me bring him closer into my life. You made me get entangled with him. You owe me the 40 grand. I knew I wasn't going to get it out of my dad. At least I thought I had a shot with my sponsor. But I told him, I said, I'm never making amends to that man again. Never make me do that again. Never make me put that man back in my life again. Never do that. Don't even bring it up. There's no way. I hate that son of a bitch. He is done. He is out of my life forever. And my sponsor said, okay. If that's what you want to do, that's fine. But we need to be honest about what you're doing and what that means, and then if that's the decision you want to make, then that's the decision you should make. If you write your dad out of your life for the rest of his life, he's old and he's not going to live forever, he might have 5 or 10 years left. And for 10 years, you'll shut him out of your life, you'll shut him out of his grandson's life, you'll shut him out of the family's life, and he will suffer for that and he will be punished. And when the 5 or 10 years is up, he will die. And it will be over for him. You, however, will live for another 30 or 40 years. And for 30 or 40 years, you will suffer with the knowledge that you come from bad blood. You will suffer with the knowledge that the people that bore you are bad people. They can't be trusted. The blood in your veins is tainted blood. You'll remember the voice of your mother when she used to tell you you're just like your father. And you'll remember what that means, and you'll know it means you're no good. And you will suffer with the separation and pain of your father when he dies, of the resentment you have against him. And every time you smell a smell, see a sight, hear a song, anything that happens that reminds you of your father, you will be reminded of the poison and the anger, and you will suffer that way for 40 years, and then you will die. Your son, however, will live for another 40 years. And after you are gone, and for the 80 years from now forward, your son will remember the anger and pain that you put into his life. He'll remember the negativity that you talked to him about his grandfather. He won't remember the joy of crawling around on the floor with his grandfather and playing with toys. He will just know that his grandfather is a piece of crap. He'll know his grandfather hurt his father. He'll know the blood in his veins is no good. He will have the resentment and angst that you will make sure he suffers from, and he will have that for 80 years. And that will be your gift to him. Do you think you'll ever let your son down? Not on purpose. But we got a lot of living to do, me and him. And I'm a flawed individual. I'm a broken spirit that makes mistakes. I'm one of God's kids, perfectly human, likely to cause harm wherever I go, regardless of my intention. I'm certain I'll let him down. What do you want to teach him? Do you want to teach him that when the men in the Fetty family disappoint their kids, that the kids should hate their father and write him off and kick him out of their life? Or do you want to teach him love and compassion? Do you want to teach him forgiveness? What do you want to teach your son? Do you want to teach your son love and compassion or punishment and torture? What do you want to teach your son? What lesson would you like your son to have? It's yours to teach. Get ready. You're teaching it one way or the other. What do you want to teach your son? Do you want to teach your son it's okay to hate his father? What do you want to do? I got to make amends to my dad. I don't know how. I don't know where to begin. I didn't do anything wrong this time. I get the phone call. My dad's got to have a surgery. He's got a 30% chance of living most likely is not going to live through it. He's got some kind of an aneurysm or embolism or something in his main valve leading to his heart. They got to fix it up. If it bursts before the surgery, he's dead. If the surgery goes wrong, he's dead. There's a small chance he'll live. Surgery's in a week. I got to go back to England. I got to go visit him. I got to go make these amends. Thankfully, I'm in a position financially at the time where I could make that trip. I bought a ticket and I went back to England, and I don't know what I'm going to say. I don't know what I'm going to say. On the flight on the way over, I'm praying and I'm meditating and I'm thinking about what I'm going to say, and it comes to me. And I get in front of my dad and I tell him, "Pops, before you go into the surgery, we got to talk. I said, I want you to know, Dad, that I'm really grateful that you're my father." He looked at me confused. He goes, "I'm a lousy dad." And the truth is that he was. And he's a smart guy, and he knew that. But if he was delusional, if he didn't know he was a lousy dad, I had told him numerous times in his face, leaving little spit on the end of his nose, "You're a lousy goddamn father." I told him. He knew what I thought. He said, "I'm a lousy dad." I said, "Pops, that's not what I mean. I don't want to talk about the past. I just want you to know that because you're my father, because your blood is in my veins, I have some gifts that I am grateful for." I said, "Pops, people tell me I'm funny. You know, Mom, not so funny." My sense of humor is because you're my father. It is because I am like you that I have a great sense of humor and a good outlook on life. When I was 16 years old, he taught me my trade. He taught me how to be a salesman. Side by side at swap meets and county fairs, he taught me how to be a salesman. He gave me that gift. And that gift is also a gift of his DNA. He was a great salesman. Because I am like him, I've been able to afford a wonderful standard of living for me and my family, and that is a gift of his. I said, "Dad, the bottom line is that I like who I am today, and who I am is your son, and I am grateful I'm your son. I want you to know that regardless of everything that has happened, I want you to know that I'm proud that you're my dad, and I'm proud that I'm your son." And he put his head down, and when he brought his head back up, he was crying. And I remember thinking to myself, "You done good, kid. Can't wait to get back and tell Bob how another amends went well." But then, through my dad's tears, he says, "You know, kid, you know I'm dying. And I don't know what happens next. This surgery goes well. It's going to prolong it a year or two. There's not much more to go. And I don't know what happens next. I don't know if the lights go out and it's over. I don't know if I go to some kind of a judgment day. I don't know if I go right to hell. I don't know if I get another shot in some kind of reincarnation at this world. I don't know what happens next." But he said, "If I get to be reincarnated and I get another shot at life, I hope I can come back as the kind of man I've watched you grow into in Alcoholics Anonymous." And I'm not much on the inner child stuff, but somewhere inside me, a little 2-year-old boy was healed. Somewhere inside of me, this kid that just wanted daddy's approval and never thought he could ever have it, was given it. I thought I was going to England to see my dad to make amends for him. I didn't know that I was going to receive the best gift that I could receive. Over the next year and a half, my wife and son and I made 4 trips to England to make sure we could spend time with him. When he died, I was alone with him in the room holding his hand when he took his last breath. And I understood, and I loved. And today, when I think of my dad, I think of great joy. When I think of my dad, I think of this imperfect, mixed up, muddled up dude that was trying to do his best and just trying to get what we all want, a little joy, a little happiness in this world. I love my dad. Now, I'm no fool. I know that if my dad hadn't have died and we'd had several more years on this planet together, I'd have said something or he'd have said something. I'd have done something or he'd have done something. And if I was lucky, there'd have been more amends that needed to be made. But I learned something. I learned something that if I got one message, it's this. Protect and defend the upswings in the relationships that you have. If you've got family members in your life that right now you're not always been close to, but you're close to them right now, take every action you can to defend that upswing. And if you're in a downswing with a family member, someone you're not talking to, someone you're angry at, you're the one in AA. You're the one with the program. Find your way back to them. Fight your way out of the downswing. Forgive, love, let go, release. Find a way to, it might be hard. It might hurt you. But you're in AA. It's what we do. Anything other than that ain't AA. I don't know what it is, but it ain't AA. Because our goal and our job and our desire and our mission through step 10 is to reduce the separation between us and the people in our lives, to create love and kindness and tolerance and forgiveness. I don't want you to, as I sit down from this session, I don't want you to think for a minute I do this perfectly. This is a principle which I cannot do perfectly all the time, but I claim progress towards. If you follow me around, you will watch me behave other than what I just talked about, right? I want you to know that. I'm not preaching here. I want you to know that I have a goal and I want to share that goal with you. And if you desire for that to be your goal too, I welcome you to share that goal with me. But let's fight for the upswings in our relationships. Let's fight out of the downswings in our relationships. Let's protect the love in our life. And let's be grateful that step 10 is the tool that we are given to allow that to happen. To quote the great, late, great Sandy Beach, AA really comes down to just a couple of things. When something goes wrong in your life that you're not happy or comfortable with, you get a resentment, you get angry, you get afraid, you got separation. You just got to ask yourself a question. Is it their fault or is it my fault? Is it their fault or is it my fault? If it's their fault, forgive them. If it's my fault, apologize. You'll usually find it's a little bit of both. But just do the forgiving, do the apologizing, and find your way back to the love.